The Old Testament reading for the first Advent midweek service is from Jeremiah chapter 33. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is the name by which it will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The epistle is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. What thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith? Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 19th chapter. You may rise. When Jesus had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it, you shall say this, the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went away, and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, why are you untying the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of it. And they brought it to Jesus. Throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus upon it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, rebuke your disciples. He answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Our sermon text this evening is Luke chapter 19, 28 to 40, the gospel lesson that was just read. The sermon title is, Jesus Comes for You. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, on December 22nd, 1947, the Los Angeles Times headlines reported that Air Force Captain Charles Chuck Yeager was the first man in history to break the sound barrier in a rocket ship known as the X-1. From that day forward, science fiction began to become science fact. Astronauts flying in rockets into outer space caught the world's imagination. People began to look up in the sky and wonder if there was alien life out there, and what might happen if the aliens visit us here on planet Earth. Some of the most popular old movies about aliens visiting Earth are still worth watching today. The Day the Earth Stood Still, released in 1951, starred the humanoid Klaatu and Gort, his robot friend. This was in black and white, by the way. Although misunderstood, Klaatu and Gort are really friends of mankind who try to help us avoid atomic war. War of the Worlds, released in 1953, was based on the novel by H.G. Wells, in which Martians invade the Earth and try to conquer mankind. But they're conquered by something like COVID-19. 2001, A Space Odyssey, released in 1968, just before Americans landed on the moon, is about invisible aliens who have come to help mankind take its next step in evolution. Close Encounters of the Third Kind, released in 1977, was about a man from Indiana who witnesses a UFO that is somehow associated with abductions. E.T., the Extraterrestrial, released in 1982, was about an endearing alien child who is lost and just wants to go home. Ghostbusters, released in 1984, is about a group of guys in Manhattan who try to stop an invasion by semi-transparent spirits and the Sumerian god called Gozer. Independence Day, released in 1996, was about an invasion by aliens, a version of the War of the Worlds on steroids, not asteroids. More recently, Monsters vs. Aliens, released in 2009, was one of my kids' favorite movies, was a computer animated look at the theme of alien invasion. And ever since then, we have plenty of these type of movies, all starring superheroes that are trying to save us. Now, in these movies, it seems as if we really can't decide whether aliens would be good or bad, helpful or harmful. Now, I don't know about you, but if I met an alien from outer space in the way that this is depicted in these stories and movies, I would be very cautious. How would I know their intent? How would I know their powers? I would try to be friendly, but could I trust them? What if they invited me to go into their spaceship and they promised to be back before midnight? Should I go with them? Or should I get on my cell phone and call the U.S. Department of Homeland Security? Now, you know, all of this is science fiction. It belongs in the fiction section of the library. Because there, as far as we know, there are no UFOs or aliens out there, at least in the sense that science fiction writers have imagined. Now, I'm excluding C.S. Lewis and his author friends here. They're closer to the truth. But mankind did have one visitor from outer space 2,000 years ago. His name is Jesus of Nazareth. He was nothing less than the Son of God. In the Old Testament, he's known as the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9, verse 6. The prophets were looking forward to him, and he was good, and he was helpful. Our gospel lesson today is all about his coming in peace to earth for you. At Jesus' baptism, if you can imagine the scene, the people had some sort of close encounter of the third kind, seeing the heavens opened, hearing a voice from heaven, and watching something like a glowing dove alight on Jesus' shoulders, Luke 3:21-22. After he started doing miracles, the Jewish leaders realized that he had supernatural powers, and they became very cautious, with good reason. Some thought that he was Beelzebub, the prince of demons, who would have gladly had the Sumerian god Gozer and Ghostbusters for lunch. Others thought he was possessed by a demon, that is, controlled by aliens through some sort of Jedi mind control. For those who didn't know Jesus personally, his powers were an imminent threat to national security and personal security. No wonder the Sanhedrin ordered his death for the safety of their people, as they said. Jesus may have been from, quote, outer space, but he was also completely human in every way, except for sin. And we have the Virgin Mary to thank for that. Mary not only allowed the Holy Spirit to cause her to conceive Jesus, she also gave birth to him, nursed him, cared for him, raised him, and taught him many things about life on this planet, as all mothers do. Mary was a Jew, so Jesus was a Jew too. He looked like a Jew, talked Hebrew or Aramaic, probably, ate like a Jew, and thought like a Jew. After all, we know he knew the entire Old Testament by memory. That's what filters through the mind of Jewish people when they think about God. Any good Jewish boy or girl should know at least a couple of verses from the Old Testament by memory. And if they're really good, they can recite it in Hebrew. I remember that Jesus was a Jew every time I eat a kosher pickle, a good bagel, or matzah ball soup. It's closest I can get to that culture. More important than the fact that Jesus was a Jew is the fact that he was humble. We have his guardian, Joseph, to thank for that. Joseph was a carpenter, which meant that he worked for a living by making things out of wood with his hands. This could have also involved the construction of buildings and their furniture. As was the custom, Jesus took up the trade of his father. Justin Martyr, writing in the 2nd century AD, wrote that Jesus made yokes and plows, and there are similar early references in Christian literature. In any event, exactly what Jesus did before his ministry, we know that he was a working man, and he was a common one at that. In our gospel, we see Jesus entering Jerusalem on the day that we Christians call Palm Sunday. On that occasion, Jesus used the mode of transport that he was used to. Donkeys were the working man's pickup truck, and he used them many times in his father's business in Nazareth. Although Jesus had amassed quite a following in 3 years, he did not enter Jerusalem with any sort of pretense. He didn't borrow a fancy limousine of the day, such as a white horse or a horse-drawn carriage. He was what he was, so he rode into the city on the working man's pickup truck, a donkey and its colt. Now, if Jesus had meant any harm to the Jews or the human race, Holy Week would have been the time to accomplish it. Thousands of Jews from around the world and his own followers from Galilee were all together for the festival of unleavened bread and Passover. He met with and taught many of these people throughout the week, but he caused no disturbance and no harm. When he was arrested, he told Peter and his disciples, "Put away your swords." He told them he could command a legion of angels to protect them in a minute if he wished, Matthew 26:53. When Pilate confronted him, Jesus replied, "My kingdom is not of this world." And he did not fight back, and he prevented his followers from fighting back. When Jesus was done with his work of receiving the punishment for your sins and the sins of the whole world, and then dying, he rose from the dead, appeared to many, and then ascended back into outer space in view of his apostles, and maybe other disciples too. You've seen paintings and stained glass of Jesus' ascension. And when you saw that, you probably never thought about it as being the end of Jesus' visit from outer space. It was obvious that Jesus was some kind of king, but what kind? Jesus told Pilate during his trial, "You rightly say that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." John 18:37. Jesus came to earth, besides paying for your sins, so that you would listen to his voice, his words, and his truth. And the entire Christian church in this congregation is a big waste of time and money if it's not about God's truth and God's relationship to you. The Nicene Creed summarizes the truth about Jesus when it says, "Who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven." Jesus came for you and your salvation. Therefore, hear and receive his words. Take those words to heart. Receive the forgiveness of sins in baptism, absolution, and the Lord's Supper. And receive his true body and blood for life, for eternal life, for your salvation now and forever. In the name of Jesus, the one who came, who comes, and who will be coming soon from where he went, outer space. Amen.